on how to effectively serve Dallas. And we would not forget to give you the praise for all that you would do. Amen.
John Chappelle, could you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, please? John, who did our Pledge of Allegiance, and John, thank you for doing that very much, has been involved in West Dallas for a long time, heads up the Chamber of Commerce, and we appreciate you being with us, too. Arville, of course, is the pastor at West Dallas Community Church. Been there for 20 years plus now. That's fair, Arville. I won't go any further than that, so that we won't commit to any ages. In addition to that, has been the founder and the leader of West Dallas Community School, which is a terrific school here in West Dallas, and has 200 or so students now and has really grown substantially and is really doing some great things in the community. Arville, thank you very much. You've been involved in DHA previously and just a real leader on it. So between John and Arville, we appreciate the leadership that you supply. It's a pleasure to be able to introduce to you Michael Brown, who Michael is the VP of Operations here at the YMCA, and I guess in a lot of ways is our host this evening. Michael?
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of the YMCA of Metropolitan Dallas, the Lake West Family YMCA, and our partners, being DHA, Parkland, the police department, and Head Start, and on behalf of our CEO, Gordon Ekenkamp, we welcome you all here to the Lake West YMCA. Some of you may be here for the first time, so let me just give you a couple of quick points and then I'll take my seat. You may not know that we have over 1,000 members from this community that are in and out of these facilities each and every day. We, on a $500,000 budget, over 95% of our members are receiving some form of financial assistance. And so we work very hard through fundraising efforts and other efforts to keep it where no one is denied access to this facility or to our programs due to the inability to pay. I'm also proud to share with you that at the end of the year, we will have given away in membership and program scholarship dollars, well over $100,000 to this community. We have over 100 seniors that are very active here, and if you come in here during the time that they're here, they'll let you know that this is their why, and they're happy to be here. Two quick classes that I want to highlight are programs that are very exciting to me. We're in our second year, our second class. Our first class graduated through our ESL program. We have 21 students right now in our program, and so we're looking forward to this second class to graduate here in the coming months. Our aquatics program is something very serious that we take here in this association. For most of you who know the data, know the statistics, you know that 60% of the drownings occur in communities of kids that are in African American descent and Hispanic descent. And so we have sort of raised the flag in our association, definitely here in West Dallas, where we are pushing a program at low or no cost, and for most of our kids here, it's no cost. During the summer months, where we have provided over 383 swim lessons to our young people. And if you know what I mean when I say swim lessons, it's a series of 8 45-minute sessions with our young people. And so that's a lot of time invested in our children. And then lastly, I would like to invite all of you to put your sneakers on Thanksgiving morning, and to come out and participate in our 41st annual Turkey Trot event. We are anticipating well over 30,000 runners, walkers, animals, children, the whole nine yards, to be with us on Thanksgiving morning. Once again, thank you all for coming. Glad you're here.
Appreciate it. Michael, thank you very much. As Michael said, this is a terrific YMCA. I've had a chance to come out a couple times and visit with the folks. Michael was good enough to take me along, got a chance to meet his staff. It's a terrific, terrific operation. I'd also point out, as Michael said, that the Turkey Trot's coming up on Thanksgiving Day. They've already got 13,000 registrations. That's about 4,000 ahead of last year. So if anything, I think Michael's number may be a little bit on the low side. So, Dwayne, you're running, and that's okay.
I have a pair of brand new red tennis shoes ready to go for Thanksgiving morning.
So, Mr. Atkins, what color are your tennis shoes?
Red, white, and blue. Again, Michael, thank you very much, and also YMCA. Mary, I would like to propose a question to you and the park department. As you know, swimming is very important for our young kids, you know, 2 years or 3 years of age. We have so many drownings going on. And I think with our swimming pools that we're trying to get funded, you know, make sure our pools is open and keeping open, that why would we need to do a partial YMCA to teach the kids how to swim some kind of way to use our pools in the YMCA during the summer?
Good point. I am happy to say that the budget, of course, included the pools as they were. I think, again, organizations like the YMCA, when they help so much as they are, they're another part of the equation, too.
Thank you.
Fair enough.
Thank you,
Mike. Appreciate it. Also, I would point out here at the Y is one of the more interesting setups that we have throughout the city, because we have our community prosecutor, we have the Weed and Seed program head who's here, and then also the head of the police department, Sergeant Police Department in this area. I'd like to call on Sergeant Smith, if I could, for just a moment. Sergeant Smith here in West Dallas is a fixture. I know that well because I can't tell you when I first came in office how many different emails I got of support for what he was doing here in West Dallas. Those have continued along. And on top of it, Sergeant Smith, I think in the last couple of weeks, because I had a chance to be there, you were recognized as the Supervisor of the Year. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Terrific. Well, congratulations on that. I thought you might like to take just a couple of minutes and tell us how it works with having all of the different elements here together and some of the successes that you've had here in West Dallas on the public safety front.
Well, the Lake West storefront is quite unique, Mr. Mayor. We have a unique opportunity to work with not only the community prosecutor from a city standpoint, but we have the Weed and Seed program, which is a federal program. And the issues that we can't address in the police department, the community prosecutor could take up, or the Weed and Seed coordinator. In addition to that, we've been really blessed to start the Quality of Life Initiative here in West Dallas. And that's a program that Mr. Evans asked us to look into and actually initiate. It's something where we address quality of life issues for our residents as well as criminal issues. And it's been very successful. The success of it lies on all the city departments working together based on input that we received from the citizens of Dallas. We actually went door to door to targeted areas within West Dallas and asked the citizens, what is it that you want from the city? How can we best serve you? And I think that worked out really well. We had over 30% return on our surveys, and we came together with other city departments, and we actually acted on that. So it was really successful for us.
Terrific. Appreciate that. And give us just an overview of the results that you've seen the last year here.
If you ride up and down the streets of West Dallas, you see the change automatically. We see new homes being built every day. We see our children laughing and playing, which is most important. We see our churches coming together. We see the city departments actually come together and working to try to make the community better. We have a vested interest in the community in West Dallas to make sure that whatever we can do to make the citizens' life more pleasant, more safe, that's what we're going to do. And we have the dedicated employees that actually out here that really want to see it done.
Terrific. And how are your youth athletic leagues working out?
It's working good. I mean, when I first started the Police Athletic League, which is the new program, not new, but we started to back up with the blessing of Chief Council, and I really appreciate that. I was a sprinter, Councilman Carraway, but I learned that walking's not as bad as long as you get...
You were a lot faster than him, weren't you?
So we've actually getting some of the support with the Police Athletic League so we can go into different areas. We actually did a midnight basketball in Five Points. We like to do that in Oak Cliff, where we targeted at-risk youth from 12 to 18 years of age. And we got them in at 6 o'clock in the evening. We kept them to 12 o'clock at night on Fridays and Saturdays so that they couldn't get in trouble. Mm-hmm. And we've also got a walk and talk program where we teach kids about nutrition, and we actually build up for a 5K run and actually run in that. So the PALS program actually works because it allows police officers to develop relationships with future leaders, and I would rather be their friend and they become our allies as opposed to them resulting going over the criminal activities. So it works really well.
Terrific. We sure appreciate everything you're doing, Sergeant. Thanks for being with us this evening.
Thank you for allowing me to serve.
Terrific. Well, this evening we are privileged to be in District 3, and District 3 is well represented on the council by our colleague, Mr. Dave Newman. Dave, would you like to say a couple of words?
Thank you, Mayor, and welcome, colleagues, first of all, to District 3 in West Dallas. That West Dallas is a combination of District 3 that I represent and also Mr. Salazar in District 6. I first and foremost want to thank everyone for being here. I tried my best to say hello to everyone that came in the door when you came in tonight, because I very much believe that we're here to help you as a neighborhood move forward. And we're honored to have Ms. Nash, a former city councilman, with us, and she and 175 other West Dallas residents had Thanksgiving lunch on Monday, and that was great, over at the Rec Center. That was a very good experience. It's about neighborhood, and it's about leadership in a community. Yesterday, Dr. Garcia and I opened the West Dallas Community Court that will be servicing the quality of life of our neighborhood. At the end of tonight's meeting, and I've said this to many of you, and I'm going to repeat again, I encourage you to step up to the lectern and speak. And you can just say hello in your name and the organization you represent, or actually speak to an issue with the council. But this is your opportunity. We're in your neighborhood, and I encourage you to speak up. Not only am I listening, the mayor and the rest of the council listening. This is your opportunity, and I'm ecstatic that we're almost out of chairs. We've had three other evening community meetings of the council. This is a number one in attendance, right here in West Dallas. And none of you had to come. You wanted to come. You wanted to come because it's your neighborhood and you have a stake in it. Whether it be Greenleaf Village, a community of 350 homes right to the west of us, 5 years old, or Greenleaf 2, another community being built at Vickers in Westmoreland, or whether it be the Dallas County Community College District building the El Centro West Campus just right across the street. These are all great building blocks to the future of West Dallas. The West Dallas Chamber of Commerce, a group of business leaders committed to delivering the economic development that is going to be part of the future. So I say thank you, and I again ask you, speak up to the, come up to the microphone at the end of the meeting, introduce yourself, tell us where in the neighborhood you live. This is your opportunity to speak out. And after the meeting, come up and introduce yourself to fellow council members, Jerry Allen, Chessie Cadet, Pauline Medrano, Carolyn Davis, Ron Natinsky. This is your city. We're in your hood. Thank you for welcoming us. Thank you.
Mr. Newman, thank you very much. Also, a large part of his district is West Dallas, and that's Mr. Salazar. Steve, would you like to take a word?
Thank you, Mayor, and I just also want to acknowledge Ms. Medrano, Ms. Coop, and Mr. Carraway, who sits in here right next to me. But let me just say that I'm happy that the council came to West Dallas to do this meeting. It's very important to see many of the positive things that have happened in West Dallas. But it's also important as well to see the many things that need to be done in West Dallas. We spent a very long time working with the county to get Singleton done. And if you took Singleton to get here, you appreciate now the way it was built and how the traffic can move a lot more freely getting here from downtown to West Dallas, here to the YMCA. And I also want to acknowledge Ms. Nash. And when Ms. Nash was, I remember a long time ago when I was a kid, and she helped Myself and many other kids go to the Cowboy games, go to the Rangers when we're little kids. You know, I grew up here going to the West Dallas Community Centers at Bataan, and so this is a community that works together, and that when there's opportunities for kids to have exposure to positive things, this is a community that makes sure that kids come first. So I'm happy to hear that YMCA is here in West Dallas, and by investing in our children, and we're going to see a lot of really great projects. And when we look at these projects, we always have to ask, is this something that's going to help our kids? And also we have to ask, is it going to help our kids when they grow up, if they want to come back, and also help the kids that are living here in West Dallas? So let me thank all of you for coming, Ms. Nash. Thank you for being here as well. And the council, I look forward to a really great meeting with a lot of really good information. And let me just say also thank you, Mr. Capello, for keeping the spirit of the business community alive here in West Dallas. So thank you, John, for being here as well.
Thank you, Mayor. Appreciate that, Mr. Salazar. Mr. Salazar mentioned her, but I'll do a little bit more formal introduction. She'll probably shoot me, so I know I'm in trouble now. But I would like to recognize the formal way, Maddie Nash. Maddie, we appreciate you being here. Maddie is a former council member, but more importantly, she is known as the mayor of West Dallas for everything that she's contributed. And Maddie, thank you very much for being here. More importantly, thank you for everything you do for the community. With that, I'd like to turn to our city manager, Mary Sue. Mary's responsible for the operations of the city, and we're very fortunate to have someone with the skill, the expertise, and the experience of Mary. So, Mary, can I turn over to you?
Thank you very much. Becca? We are going to present a briefing this evening. Our project is going to have a significant impact on West Dallas, on the entire community, but I think particularly on this community even more so. And we want to show you tonight how that impact will occur and lots of exciting things. And Becca Duggar, who is the director of the Trinity River Corridor Project, will do that presentation for us.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mayor, members of the City Council, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to talk to you today about the Trinity River Corridor project, the entire project, and I'm very excited to bring you some pictures that you haven't seen before, some construction pictures. But I'm also going to focus particularly on what the Trinity River Corridor project means for the west side of Dallas. Of course, this is the largest public works project that the City of Dallas has ever undertaken. It covers 20 miles of the Trinity River. Now, in the center of your map that you'll have in front of you, that's downtown Dallas in this area here. But the project goes all the way up to the left-hand corner of the map here, up to Royal Lane, comes down along the inner slope of the Trinity River, past West Dallas, past Oak Cliff, and continues on down to Interstate 20 South. It covers approximately 10,000 acres. We're going to have one of the largest urban parks in the country, literally walking distance from where we are right now. We like to compare that to probably the most famous urban park in this country, which is Central Park. And Central Park is 840 acres, so we're going to have over 10 times the size of Central Park right here in Dallas for us to use. The project has multiple components to it. The most important part, of course, is flood protection. As we've seen so much in the past few years, we have to keep people safe in their properties and in their lives. No more important than this year. This is the 100th year anniversary of the last time we had a 100-year flood. And so we've got to keep people protected from flooding. But we also need to take care of our environment. We've got a lot of really nice recreational features that we're going to be providing for you. Our transportation components include the Trinity Parkway, signature improvements, and also some work on Sylvan and Beckley. And then, of course, we certainly hope this project will be an economic generator for the City of Dallas. A little bit of a timeline background of how we got here. Back in May of 98, the Trinity River Corridor Bond Program was passed for $246 million. Now, this is it's a $2.5 billion project, so we have to have additional funds coming in. We have great partners with the North Texas Tollway Authority, the Texas Department of Transportation, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Dallas County. Over $25 million in private funds have come in for this project. So we have a lot of great partners helping fund this project. In March of 2004, we adopted our Balanced Vision Plan, which provides all the concepts for the many components of this project. Let's first talk about flood protection. We've got several components under design right now. Our Dallas Floodway Extension Project will extend our existing levees 5.5 miles downstream to protect those areas that don't have flood protection now. Up in the Elm Fork area, we also have some levees and wetlands for flood protection. And in the downtown area, our levees will be raised slightly to protect from flooding in that area. Now, these are some construction pictures. We actually took the picture on the bottom right there last week when we had the big storm come through. Our lower chain of wetlands is absolutely complete and doing their job. This is what these wetland cells are supposed to do, to take the floodwaters from the Trinity River and route it through the Great Trinity Forest so that it doesn't back up into areas like West Dallas. So even though these wetland cells are located south of here, they are literally helping to reduce flood levels in this area so that it doesn't go up and over the levee. So we're very proud to see these in service. Now, these are some pictures also of that same flooding area, but you'll see when these wetland cells, when the water recedes, they will still have some water in them. It'll be an area for the wildlife habitat. You'll be able to access these areas from the Jockey neighborhood and then also from Loop 12, the construction bridge that was constructed to help build these wetland cells will remain, and it will be an access point into these areas. Future work on the downstream area, we have another chain of wetlands that will go from the dark rail line down to I-45. We're going to be protecting the Lamar area with a levee on that side, and then also on the other side, the Cadillac Heights levee will get built to protect that neighborhood. Now, the existing levees will be raised by as much as 2 feet, again, protecting this area, providing additional protection for the West Dallas area and all the areas along the levees from the 800-year flood. So that's a great amount of flood protection that we have from the Trinity River. And then up in the Elm Fork area, we provide a smaller levee, but it will protect over $25 million in assets in the areas near Manana and Spangler. Another wetland will help with flood conveyance in this area. And we expect to begin construction on this actually in the fall of this year. We'll have our plans earlier this year. Now, here's some pictures that may be more familiar to people in the audience. This is the flood of March 2006. And this is a different kind of flooding. This is flooding from interior drainage. This is the rainwater that has to get to the Trinity River. And sometimes it can't get there fast enough. And so what does it do? It backs up into the streets and the homes. So we have a plan to protect the areas from interior drainage, from interior flooding, excuse me. And so we've got showing here the area that's encompassed by the levees. There are two pump stations that we are working on right now with design, the Baker pump station over on the downtown side and the Pavajo pump station on this side of the levees. We'll begin construction on those in the fall of 2009, fall of next year. And then we'll be starting on our design contracts for Able pump station and Charlie pump station. Those are between the Houston and Jefferson Street bridges. And then we've got pump stations Delta, Hampton, and the Trinity Portland pump stations that will begin sometime in late 2010. Moving on to our recreational features, the Trinity River Corridor has been divided up into three sections geographically. We have our Trinity Fields, which is up in the Elm Fork area, our Trinity Lakes in the central area, and then our Trinity Forest, which is further downstream. And you can note the different designs of our branding that we have. We have a different brand kind of for each of those sections of the project. Moving first to recreation in the Trinity Fields area up in the Elm Fork, Dallas really needs a lot of soccer fields, and we need a lot of them all in one place so we can host the large tournaments, the international tournaments, high school, college tournaments, and we're going to have one of these located just west of I-35 in Walnut Hill. We're building taking an old landfill, converting it into 22 soccer fields. We expect to begin construction late next year, and we'll have that complete in 2011. Moving downstream then, further down to the Trinity Forest, we've got 6,000 acres of bottomland hardwood forest, one of the largest urban forests in the country. We've found many bird and wildlife species down there. We have a plan to protect this area, to maintain it and operate it. We're going to provide some wildlife habitat, and we're going to learn, too, how to plant, when to clear, what our budgetary needs are. We've also identified a potential site that might be good for tent camping or RV camping down there. So these are the things we're going to be exploring in our Great Trinity Forest. If you haven't been down there, I certainly encourage you to go to our Trinity River Audubon Center. It is a fantastic facility located off of Loop 12 down in the south. If you're traveling I-45, take Loop 12 toward the east, go about 2 miles, and you'll see the sign for it. This is kind of the educational wing, the wet laboratories that they have for the kiddos to go and learn about the birds and the wildlife and plant life. It's interesting to note this building has been built for this area. It's very green. Note that the windows are slanted at about a 12-degree angle. That's to keep the birds from bird strikes. You know, sometimes birds see their reflections in the windows when they want to fly into it. So they're really taking care of the birds in this area. You'll see they have exhibits, they have a flood model, lots of exhibits about the Trinity River and its ecosystem. One of the wetland cells actually has kind of a window in it so you can see the fish swimming around. A lot of other green features. Here's an aerial that was taken actually last week. And you can see in the foreground of this picture, that's the actual Trinity River. That's how close you are to the Trinity River when you're at the Audubon Center. Note that the aerial view of the Audubon Center kind of resembles a bird in flight. Here's another picture that we have that really shows the extent of all the trails that are around this area, the wetland trails and the boardwalk. So I encourage you to go out there. The third Thursday of the month, it's free. It stays open later that night, so I would encourage you to go out there anytime really, but it's a wonderful place to go. Another piece of the Trinity Project in the Great Trinity Forest is the Texas Buckeye Trail. This is an existing soft surface trail. We are going to make it ADA accessible. It's located at the end of Bear Street in Rochester Park. So we will be providing about a mile of hard surface trail in this area. A group called Groundwork Dallas has been out there ahead of us. They put up a covered pavilion and some trailheads out in this area. Also in Rochester Park this past summer, we worked with a group called Student Conservation Association, and they hired local high school students to go out. And the blue line that you see there is 3.5 miles of soft surface trails that these high school kids got out in July and August and built these trails. And we were so glad to have their help with us, and we plan to do a lot more work with them in the future. The red line that you see there is a future trailhead at Rochester Park that we're designing now, a trail that will go up and over the levees and tie into all these trails. And this isn't the end of the trail system by any means. We've got a lot more trails that we're planning on doing. As a matter of fact, this is our future spine trail network that goes throughout the Trinity Forest. And the first phase of that is under construction right now. It goes from Loop 12 down to Simpson Stewart and actually over to the Eco Park, the City of Dallas Facility Eco Park. So that's under construction right now, a hard surface trail. The second phase of that Trinity Trail is under design right now. That will take you from Simpson Stewart over to the Audubon Center, and there'll be a bridge at that location, a pedestrian bridge that will take you across into the Audubon Center. Phases 3 and 4 are about to be contracted out to start design on that, and so we plan to have all the areas that you can see in black completed at the hard surface trail. The blue areas are those areas that would be a water crossing or the Trinity River crossing. Several gateway parks are also planned, and we'll start design soon. Loop 12, I-20, South Central Joffe, which will have a community meeting there in December of this year to start talking about that, and then also improvements to the Rochester Park gateway. Some of the facilities that we will be putting out there, of course, are soft surface trails, fishing facilities. The Loop 12 boat launch is actually in place now if you want to go down and launch a boat down there at the Loop 12 area. Let's talk about the Trinity Lakes area. This is the central part of the project, and you can see kind of here's the overall objective of that. We have 5 sections of the Trinity Lakes Park area, and we'll be going through those one by one. First, we'll start here at the West Dallas Lake area. The West Dallas Lake is going to be about a 130-acre lake. It's going to have a rowing course on it, an Olympic-length rowing course on it, amphitheaters, football fields, and trails, picnic areas here. Now here's another kind of diagram of that kind of shows where the trails will go and connect through this area. There will be motorized access from the Westmoreland Bridge to get down to this area. And here's maybe another familiar site. We're looking downstream now, just on the other side of the Westmoreland Bridge. but perhaps in the future, this is what you'll see. The rowing course there, not only for rowing, but it could also be for casual boating. We also expect to have wetlands, floating wetlands out there to be used for the lanes for the rowing course. And of course, we really expect a lot of activity in and around this lake. The amphitheater on the other side of the lake will be used for concert venues, watching the rowing, watching fireworks. There'll be room out there for plenty of parking in this area, and you'll be able to access this from the Westmoreland Bridge. Another project that's kind of gotten started, but we need to actually work on completing this, is the Bernal Trail. Now, there is a portion of this Bernal Trail that's been completed through Tipton Park, right there in the center of your screen there. The ultimate length of this trail would be 3.17 miles, and so we need about $2.5 million to fund that. But the remaining part here, you can see this green line that goes along the levee top. That's part of the existing levee top trail. So we want to tie in this red line with the levee top trail and then tie in this line to the levee tops. This would be a sidewalk connection to the J.C. Zaragoza Park. A couple of items that are already constructed in the Trinity Project. I mentioned the Trinity River levee top trail. We will be having our sixth annual 10K run in March of next year. That trail starts at Sylvan Avenue, runs along the top of the levees down to Westmoreland, and circles back around. Last couple of years, we've had 300 or 400 people come out there for that run, so they really enjoy running on top of the levees. There's also a boat launch at Sylvan Avenue that you can launch a canoe or a small watercraft right there at Crow Lake. Moving on down into the recreational fields, which are also very near to here. Hampton is the roadway on your left-hand side of your screen, and Sylvan is the roadway that crosses on the right-hand side of your screen. We expect to have about 17 regulation-sized fields, plus also just some open space for those informal games, throwing the frisbee or having some games that are less structured than that. 1,600 parking spaces in this area, so there ought to be plenty of room for everyone to park. Restrooms and concession areas are also planned for this area. And here we have a view of what that might look like. If you're running along the top of the levee, just lazing on the side of the levee, or parking down there with the ball field. So this will be a great addition to this area. Moving on down soon then to the urban lake. We've got an urban lake that's about 90 acres in size. We also expect to have a pavilion, some promenades. The Trinity Overlook, which I'll show you in just a minute, has also been complete in this area. Here we have our urban lake. Up at the upstream end here, you have a large pavilion. I think I have another picture of that pavilion on the next screen. Yes, I do. This pavilion in this area will accommodate about 300 people. It'll have tables. You can have tables and chairs, have barbecues out there, picnics, reunions, and so forth. So that'll be a great addition, be a nice gathering place for people. This is the Trinity Overlook. Some of you may have noticed this if you're going along Beckley or Commerce. It's located on the West Levee. It's nearing completion. There's a couple of items that we're missing at this point. But you can see it's got a canopy, a shaded canopy, a place for you to sit. It's on top of the levee. This is Commerce Street in the background. And this will be a place where you'll be able to sit up and watch the Trinity Project unfold over the next several years. We'll have a ribbon-cutting event in December of this year for this. This location right here will have kind of a set of binoculars so you can look out over the whole Trinity Project. There'll be signage that says, you are here, and here's what you're going to be seeing in the future. So a really nice, exciting place for you. And again, that's there right now, and it just recently was completed. Another thing that we're doing for West Dallas is we're helping to keep those levees clear of our transmission lines. And this is something that we fought hard for. Encore came in and wanted to put a new 345 kilovolt transmission line, and they wanted to run it primarily along the route you see here, but they wanted it to all be above ground. And so we went down and talked with the PUC, and we asked them to please allow us to at least put Section C, which is down here along the West Levee, put that underground. Now, this is unprecedented because in the United States of America, the 340 345 kV transmission lines. There's only about 10 miles of it buried in the United States. It's very big. It takes a lot of space to do. It's very expensive. We've got about 7/10 of a mile that we're doing here, but they will be having a undergrounding, keeping this levee clean. It will come above ground at Sylvan and then cross at Sylvan Avenue. One of the other things that we're working with Encore right here at the end of the Sylvan Bridge, they are going to be putting a transition station, but we are talking to them about putting a pocket park in that area to kind of hide that transition station as they put in their work there. Moving on down then to the urban lake detail, here we have an area that we're showing the urban lake, the central island, the various shade structures that we have in this area, an area really where people can just go and gather and have open space to run and play. Version of that at nighttime, these shade structures are proposed to have solar panels on them to provide illumination at night. And then here is the promenade. This is the kind of the hardscape on the side of the urban lake. Accommodates 19,000 people. It'll be ranging anywhere from 25 feet wide to 150 feet wide in this area. You can see the Margaret McDermott Bridge down there in the background. We'll talk about that a little bit more in just a moment. The urban lake is going to have a lot of interesting features around it. One of the things that our designers have looked into is having a water maze. Now, this is a kind of a scale replica of the Trinity River as it runs all the way down from Dallas to the Gulf of Mexico. It'll only be about a foot deep, 18 inches deep perhaps, but it'll be something that the kiddos can play in, float their little boats in, and just see how the course of the Trinity River runs along the edge of the promenade. Another area that we have is the isthmus and the amphitheater. This is the area that connects the two lakes together, the natural lake with the urban lake, the amphitheater over in this area with a floating stage, and the isthmus area in here. And I've actually got some kind of models here of how that would look. The amphitheater would be a floating stage out in this area. It would be movable. And then the isthmus connection between the natural lake and the urban lake. This will provide you some fun. This will be a place where the boaters and canoers can decide whether they want to take the wild ride between the natural lake and the urban lake, or they want to take a more gentle, soothing canoe ride. So you can see the two routes. One is kind of twisty and maybe has some white waters in it, and then another more gentle ride. This will be a crossing here, both vehicular and pedestrian crossing for the connection between the two lakes. Then we'll talk a little bit more about the natural lake here, how that's going to look like. A lot of wetlands in this area. This will be more natural, a more soft edge to it. A lot more trees, a lot more wetlands in this area. Again, some trails, canoe launches in this area. You can see the floating wetlands that we have there. They also serve as not only being aesthetically pleasing, but they can also provide some water quality improvement and also habitat for the waterfowl. And then moving further down into some additional wetlands down by the Corinth Street, we have our wetlands here. There's some existing wetlands there now, but we want to enhance it, also put a boardwalk in this area. The birds really like coming into these wetland areas, so we want to afford them the chance to come down here. Maybe some playgrounds in this area, particularly around the Eloise Lundy Park. We want to provide that connection to get over the levees and have that playground area. Here's kind of what it looks like today. This is actually an actual picture that the wetlands are there now, but what we want to do is just enhance that and provide boardwalks with synthetic decking so it'll be sustainable. It won't be rotting and going away. So this will be a great place for the migratory birds to come and people to watch those birds. Another project that we have located at the very end of the levees is Moore Gateway Park, located at 8th Street in Corinth, near the Dart Rail Station. This was an area that used to have the old 8th Street Motel. It wasn't a very nice motel. We bought that motel and tore it down. Now we're going to have a pavilion, an amphitheater, trails, landscaping, and areas for people to just do the recreation in this area. It's also connected to very closely to the area where we're having our standing wave. Now, this is a whitewater course that will be in channel. We expect to begin construction on this early next year. Also very near to this is the old ATSF railroad bridge, which we're going to be converting into a trestle trail, a pedestrian crossing of the Trinity River. They kind of all come together at one. You can see this trail down in the bottom right-hand corner will actually take you back to Moore Park, and we'll connect from there. You can see the two whitewater areas that we'll have in this area. If you're not into extreme sports, no problem. You can go down the bypass channel along there, a little bit slower route there. And you can see our Santa Fe Trestle Trail will cross over all of that. So it'll be a great vantage point to look at the whitewater enthusiasts and to look at the canoeists going by, and also have a really good vantage point for the rest of the Great Trinity Forest. We also want to include art in the Trinity River corridor, all throughout the corridor. Some temporary art to have local artists come out and show their artwork in the floodway. Council rings is another neat idea that we have, where you may be walking along a trail and all of a sudden you come upon a big opening, and it's just some sort of a rustic circle where you can have a group come and just commune with nature. Team building exercises invites people to come out and have lectures in this area, poetry readings or whatever, and then having a major artwork somewhere in the Trinity Project. We haven't yet decided where that will be or what it will be, but it will certainly be something that will set us apart. Moving on to our transportation components, our Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge is under construction. This picture was taken about 2 weeks ago. You can see the columns are going up on this bridge. This bridge is really going to happen. You'll start to see the deck going up early next year. The steel will be arriving next spring, and we'll start seeing that center arch, which is 400 feet tall. You'll start seeing that go up in late spring of this year. We expect to be driving on this bridge in 2011. Here you see some of the steel that's being fabricated over in Italy, so it is coming together and will be coming over here very shortly. This is the route that we're proposing for it to take. It will actually extend Woodall Rogers Freeway across the Trinity River and tie into Singleton Boulevard. This will allow the people in West Dallas and Oak Cliff to access not only Industrial Boulevard, but also all the major freeways to get to downtown, to get to all of those venues at Victory and American Airlines Center much easier than they have before. Once this bridge gets built in place, the traffic is routed on it. The Continental Avenue Bridge will remain, but it will be a pedestrian bicycle bridge only. We expect to have concerts on it and festivals and art shows and all kinds of entertainment facilities for that bridge. The Margaret McDermott Bridge is the second signature bridge that we're looking at building. TxDOT is expecting to begin construction in 2010. Both of these bridges designed by Santiago Calatrava. This will effectively double the size of the existing I-30 bridge from 6 lanes now to 11 main lanes and 1 reversible HOV lane. And then the Trinity Parkway Toll Road, which will begin design next month. This is the route that we're proposing to take, starting at 183 on the left-hand side of your screen, coming into the levees at Hampton, following all the way down the levee down to 175 in the south. There will be exit ramps and entrance ramps at Hampton, at Sylvan, at Woodall Rogers, further down at Houston, Jefferson, Corinth, MLK, I-45, and down to Lamar, and finally down to 175. Now, the Trinity Parkway Toll Road here's a picture of it looking southbound from Hampton. So this will be basically once you get on the Trinity Parkway, this is the view you'll have. And we're showing windmills there. It could be solar powered. We're allowing for some infrastructure that will allow for future alternative energy that we can use and put back into the grid. It'll be put into the infrastructure of the pavement. And one of the things that I mentioned that the Trinity Parkway affords us to do is to correct a very dangerous traffic movement down in the southern part of Dallas. 175, as it comes into Dallas, if people want to go downtown, they have to take this curve, which is very dangerous traffic movement. It actually has a special name, Dead Man's Curve, and takes you up SM Wright Freeway. Well, we're going to be connecting the Trinity Parkway to I-45, making that movement. That will be a free movement. It is not tolled at that point. And therefore, the SM Wright freeways can then be taken down to a low-speed boulevard where it will be have pedestrian crossings, sidewalks, landscaping, and so forth. The neighborhood is very much involved in this, and they're very excited about it. We're going to keep them involved in this and get their input on how they want this to move forward. The Sylvan Avenue Bridge, as you all know, is underwater about 4 times a year. And so we're going to make it a real bridge again. And it's got a really neat design that we're looking at here. And one of the neat components that I hope we always see these blue lines, because these blue lines indicate the 100-year flood level of the Trinity River. So we always want to keep those blue lines in sight. We expect to have that hopefully started in late 2009. And then finally, the Beckley Commerce intersection. This is a project that will be soon begin construction early next year. This is a project that we hope to have better traffic flow in this area, not so much those turnarounds, those big rounded loops are really obsolete as far as traffic goes, but we want to make this pedestrian friendly, also with a signalized intersection here, and the Fourth Avenue Development Group has been helping us to make sure this is pedestrian friendly, and we're going to ensure that happens. And finally, economic development. We have been working in this entire area to look at what we have out there now, what our zoning is. We have already completed two zoning areas, the old Trinity Industrial and Mixed Master Riverfront. Our next one will be Cedars West coming up in December. Then we're going to move across the river into the Oak Cliff Gateway area. Then we're going to be looking into Westmoreland Heights. You can see that area in orange there. We've also got La Bajada Los Altos, which is at the landing of the Margaret Hunt Hill Bridge. We've got West Commerce right there at the West Commerce and the Trinity Levee, and then the 10th Street Bottoms would also be an area upcoming for a rezoning study. So what's next for us? We're going to begin construction on that upper chain of wetlands. We're going to continue our construction on Moore Gateway Park and start construction on the Standing Wave next year. Also, all these other design elements will begin. We will continue our land acquisition both for the Great Trinity Forest and for the Trinity Parkway. We're going to begin design on that Trinity Parkway, and then continue with our zoning study. And note that we have, some of you may not have seen, in the audience anyway, have seen our logo located here in the bottom left-hand corner. Be watching for that logo. That logo means that the Trinity River Project is around. Also, visit our website, TrinityRiverCorridor.org. We have an e-newsletter. We'd be happy to send you every month, give you updates, pictures, events that are coming up. And there is our website that you can go to and sign up for our newsletter or get more information on the project.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
Mr. Newman chairs the Trinity River Corridor Committee. Mr. Newman?
Thank you, Mayor. It is indeed an exciting project, and part of the Trinity Corridor project is at the doorstep of West Dallas. And so this just gives you another glimpse of what's going on. It touches neighborhoods, it touches trails, it touches some of our parks. So I encourage you all as stakeholders, as neighbors, to make sure you stay engaged. I mean, first and foremost, I want to reiterate, and I want to thank the Trinity staff, Rebecca Duggar and Jill Jordan. But first and foremost, the Trinity River Corridor Project is about flood control, and it's about making sure that we are safe in our neighborhoods. After we accomplish the flood control, and while we do that, we're going to invest some of your dollars in athletic fields all along the Trinity and gathering places. Well, I mean, just can you imagine being able to go to three lakes from your home, go onto a trail, whether it be by bike or by hike, and make it all the way down to the Audubon Center that's open. So I think it's a great thing. It's been an honor to be involved in it, and I welcome to engage the West Dallas community and part of the plans to make it touch your doorstep. So, Mayor, it's a great thing, and by no means is this plan that you see tonight a final document. This is an evolving document. It's based on citizen involvement and input on what you think should be as it relates to your neighborhood and your city. So please be assertive. There are several handouts in one of the most recent newsletters that are out. Please make sure you take that and let us know your feedback. So thank you, Mayor.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much. Before we go to our next briefing, as mentioned earlier, we'd love to have the speakers. If you would like to speak, Madam Secretary, if you could just stand up just a second. There are cards. If you would get those over to our secretary, that would be appreciated. I know that there were a number of people that signed up earlier to talk about some of the lead issues within West Dallas. What I'm going to do on those is, because there were such a large number, I'm going to allocate 15 minutes. So I'm going to ask everybody that wants to speak on that to kind of get together and figure out how best to utilize those 15 minutes. But we'll limit that topic to just 15 minutes to be fair to the other speakers. With that, I'd like to introduce Paul Dyer. Paul? Paul heads up our Parks and Recreation Department. And could you bring us up to speed on the Recreation Center here?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mayor. Mayor and members of the City Council, and particularly the members of the audience, our District 3 and District 6 representatives, we're very pleased tonight to bring to you a plan that will completely rebuild the Manny Nash Myrtle Davis Recreation Center. I know Ms. Nash has been waiting a long time, as we have, for this. It's quite exciting. This center is just a hop, skip, and jump from the Trinity River, so we're very excited tonight to present this to you, and it is not that far from a reality. A bit of history about this project.
You either got to tell jokes or start dancing, Paul.
Thank you. A bit of history about the project. In 1944, when our country was still worrying about the war, we acquired 12 acres for the Northampton Park, which is on Northampton, just across Northampton from this facility. In 1963, the Northampton Recreation Center opened, and you can see this is what exists today. It hasn't changed at all except for the playgrounds and things we've added to the park, and there's also a school that's been added to the other NCF car that we've added over the years. In the Recreation Center history, in 1997, the center was renamed Manny Nash Myrtle Davis Recreation Center. Shortly after that, 2000, we hired a consultant to provide a partial design for services for a replacement facility and a master plan. Incorporated into that was also an interior innovation while we waited for funding. So in 2002, we actually performed a partial interior renovation waiting for funding to come from future bond programs. The bond funds for the replacement facility were included in the 2006 bond program, and in 2007, LaGuardia Lowe, which is an incredible architect that's located here in Dallas, hasn't done a lot of work here in Dallas, but has done work internationally. I think once you see this design, you're going to be very pleased with the design. It's, to me, I think it's, I'd love to copy this center and put it all over the city. It's such a remarkable design. In June 2008, we held community meetings with the community to review the schematic design and receive their input and comments, which we try to do with all our recreation centers and our park development. In October 2008, the park board approved the plans and specifications, and that meant it was ready for bid, and so we are at this point now going out to bid. The budget for the facility is about $4.5 million. Some project details includes new construction. We've actually, because of the LEED certification, we decided to retain some of the old structure, and so we retained the old gymnasium, but it's not going to be a gymnasium anymore. We're going to actually retain this brown segment here, and that will be the core for the new elements of the multipurpose function in the building. Then we are taking out the blue section that you see in here, which is the old building that's part of the WIC program, the Karen WIC program that's been there for a number of years. And by the way, they are vacating the building in December and have a new location. So this will be entirely a recreation center now, no longer with the WIC, County WIC program. The outlines you see, the light beige area and the darker beige area, will be the full complement of the footprint of the building. We've added hardscape and 20 new parking spaces to this center as well. The new construction will include an NCAA regulation basketball court, which is 92 feet versus 82 feet for a high school court. We have a lot of adults that play that like the full regulation court. A new lobby area, weight room. The existing gym will remain, including, as I mentioned before, the four decorative murals that were on the building. These murals are part of our city art collection, so rather than try to take them down and actually reapply them at some point, we've left the building up, and so they will remain intact with the new recreation center as it comes up. Some more project details include a senior room with dedicated restrooms, kitchen, multi-purpose room, computer lab with showers, and we also have a restroom. This slide kind of gives you the building footprint, if you will, the configuration. As you come in off the parking lot through this area right in this corridor. You have in this area a brand new exercise and fitness facility that is entirely glass along this side and glass along the outside. That allows the individuals that are in the control booth, the staff, to be able to see into the fitness center, out into the park. It's a great visibility, and also see the entrance coming in this way. It also allows them to see back into the entrance that comes in off of Hampton this way. As I mentioned, this is a full-size gymnasium, wonderful flow that comes off of the gymnasium exiting this way and also coming off this side, exiting on this side. A lot of great storage capacity, more storage than we have in most of our rec centers. This is an entire staffing complement area. Then we have a complete senior room over here with the seniors. They have activities, quilting, and just across the hall, there's a large kitchen, which can be a kitchen for serving, but also it's a teaching kitchen. So next to this wonderful teaching kitchen, we have a very large multi-purpose room that can be divided up for, as I mentioned, cooking classes, jazzercise, any kind of exercise programs. There's a computer lab in this area for the children, a crafts room over here. There are restrooms for the seniors in this area, major public restrooms over here. And you can also notice there are two showers here for folks that want to come in and shower and work out and then get back to work maybe during the lunch hour. So this is an incredible facility. The flow in the building, the way it provides a lot of roominess. It's an open feeling facility. Again, I think Mr. Nash is going to be very proud of us when this is finished next year, and we're in 2010, actually early 2010, and we are quite excited about this building. As I mentioned, it is a LEED certified building. It has 20 parking spaces, landscape courtyard. What provided the LEED certification was the reuse of the existing buildings I mentioned earlier, and also the use of renewable materials. The ball court is bamboo, and so that's a replenishable material that will actually be utilized for the flooring surface. The energy systems, the HVAC, is certainly something that we've added high efficiency units along with extra layers of insulation. And also there's a rainwater collection system that's being considered and a large number of bike racks that will provide the full LEED certification. The gym will also have striping on the floor to accommodate three different basketball configurations, one full court, two cross courts. There's also three volleyball courts that can be configured as well, with seating on both sides as you saw earlier with the footprint of the building, and also 25-foot high ceiling, which is required to accommodate volleyball. In addition to this, this is a rendering of the new multi-purpose room, which can be used for a great hall for community meetings. As I mentioned, it can be divided in half for jazzercise. There's a lot of volume in this space because of the utilization of the old gymnasium. So the old gymnasium actually becomes the new recreation center, and then we're adding a new gymnasium on top of that. There's an addition of 3,379 square feet, which will make this a 21,000 square foot facility, and I think this will be the pride of West Dallas. We're very excited about that. The timeline for the project, we're advertising for bids today. We started the first advertisement, and there are a certain number of advertisements we have to go through to make sure we satisfy state laws as well as to secure the number of bidders to get a good price on the project. We're opening bids on December 18th. The park board will consider the construction award February 5th. That gives us time during the holidays to bring the bids in, get the insurance from the contractor, make sure the bids bonds are accurate and in place. And then at that point, we'll go on to the City Council for their consideration of the award February 25th and begin construction 2009. Now, even though we're awarding the construction project on February 25th, 2009, we'll be closing earlier in February because we're going to start the abatement process of the asbestos, which will be prior to the contractor coming in and actually building the project. This project is about 14-month construction, and we anticipate a completion of construction in 2010. A site plan here shows you again the new recreation center configuration along Hampton. There's also 20 new parking spaces in this area. And again, it's got a great visibility to the park on this side and also has a very beautiful presence along Hampton Boulevard. A couple of venues that we're closing with this. You can see this is the old artwork that was left on the existing gymnasium. There are pilasters here. The symmetrical pilasters are extended out to create the colonnade that you see. That's the new entrance court on the front. It's a very handsome building from that perspective. And another perspective, from a more oblique angle, you can see the same colonnade coming off from the new front entrance, and also you can see the wing wall and the upper level of the new gymnasium as it's constructed. The next rendering elevation looks at the backside, actually where the parking lot is, where most of the visitors will be coming to the center will be coming in. And again, you can see here the glass wall where we'll have the exercise area, the machines and whatnot, and you can see through that area into through another glass wall into the great court that allows people to be able to see fully throughout the recreation center. So beautiful facility. I'm hopeful that it will be an award winner because it is quite stunning in its presentation, and I think the Tri-Tech has done a remarkable job. That concludes the briefing, and we'll be happy to answer any questions of the council or the community.
Paul, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Carroway?
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. And let me just say a couple of things, and I'll be as quick as I possibly can. But Ms. Nash, it's taken us a long time to get here.
How's it looking, Ms. Nash?
Oh. Harry will do it tomorrow.
Okay.
I want to
hear the timetable, Paul.
Yeah. I wanted to make that comment because in 1997, when I was vice president of the park board, led the charge. This was Northampton Recreation Center, and led the charge to change the name to a legend and a couple of legends, Ms. Maddie Nash and Myrtle Davis. It's been a long time coming, but I do want to say that Linda Coop and I then were on the park board at that time, and we were joking back in the back about how the phone calls were going. But then I want to acknowledge and hand off to Dave Newman, because Dave certainly has not dropped the ball. Councilman Newman has not dropped the ball as related to this project. And it is now moving forward. It is beautiful. It's blessed. West Dallas deserves it. And it's only one new project that this community is beginning to enjoy. Long overdue, Reverend Arvell, long overdue, but it's finally here. So you've had good representation in Councilman Salazar and Madrano and Dave Newman, and then those before us as well. But it would not have happened without your leadership, is where I'm going. Without your commitment to this community, without your dedication to this community, you were the first council person, one of them, that bought in 14-1. So we need to make sure that we acknowledge that. That's the reason there are 15 of us sitting around this horseshoe, and you were the first to do that in representing this community. So I want to say that. Paul, now we didn't talk about the playground and the school board. What else did I write down, Paul? Yeah, and make sure we have some swings, because Mr. Hopkins, he comes to the city council talking about these swings. So we want to make sure that not only do we complete this beautiful facility for West Dallas, but we want to make sure that that playground is 100%, and I know that you have it into the plan already.
Right. We have it.
All right. Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Nash.
Thank you. Mr. Atkins, please.
Again, Paul, you know, I just like to say, you know, if you go and just look at the city of Dallas and you wonder why it take a long time, but then, too, things happen great when you take your time. And I just would like to thank the prior council, Linda Coop, Pauline Madrono, Dr. Garcia, Steve Salazar, Mitch Rosensky, Ron Detinsky, and also the city manager. You know, this came out of the 2006 bond package. And if it were not for the bond package, we would not be sitting here today and try to build this project. And that's what the citizen asked for, and we as a city gave you what you asked for, Maddie Nash. It took a long time, but we did hear your cry, and we here support you, and we make sure this will be on time, Paul. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Atkins. Again, Paul, appreciate it very much. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good luck on your new timetable.
Thank you. Is that 1 month or two? I can't remember.
Madam Secretary, I believe we have one item for individual consideration on the agenda.
Good evening. Item 1 is to authorize a professional service contract with Hewitt Zollers, Inc. for the engineering design of 4th Street Street Project on Commerce Street, Fort Worth Avenue, and a further project on Commerce Street.
Mr. Carraway has moved it, along with Mr. Newman. Mr. Atkins seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? So ordered. With that, let's turn to our speakers. Madam Secretary, how many speakers do we have signed up?
You have 6.
Okay, 6. Go ahead.
The first speaker is Joanna Capello. I'm sorry, John, I can't read your handwriting. I do apologize.
Okay.
If you'll please go ahead, and I will need for you to state your name and address for the record.
I'm John.
And you will be allowed 2 minutes to speak.
Okay, thanks.
Fix that up. Thank you very much for introducing me. I must not have written it very well. But I'm John Capello. My address is 7335 Briar Knoll in Dallas. I'm in Mr. Natinsky's district, and I want to welcome all of you to West Dallas, and you, Mr. Mayor, and all the council people for coming here. We are delighted to have you. I want to let you know, too, that there's just a lot of new energy in West Dallas. We have a lot of new leaders coming up. We have a lot of new projects that are just too numerous to mention. And one of them is DART Rail. We're going to have DART Rail here in 2030, and it's really going to open up West Dallas to the rest of the city. And it's going to be a gateway for the Tarrant County area to come into Dallas, and it's going to help with a lot of congestion, a lot of pollution control. We're really happy about that, and we're excited about the Signature Project because West Dallas has one of the best views of downtown Dallas, and especially from these two new bridges that are coming up. And I commend all of you for voting on this Trinity River Project. And with this new lake coming in, it's a very exciting time. We have a lot of new homes coming. We have a lot of new infrastructure that's coming into West Dallas with the flood control. And once again, I want to commend you for that because the area has been neglected for so long. And we have these beautification projects with Singleton Boulevard having 169 new trees along it. And it's going to be an inviting area for everyone to come and see and enjoy. And so with that, I want to go ahead and close. But thank you once again for all of your help and support for our area.
Okay. John, thank you very much. John, I know your family's been involved in the community for an awful long period of time, and you with your business have spent an awful lot of time in West Dallas and really improving this community, and everybody sure appreciates it. I just want to recognize you for that.
Your next speaker is Stella Espasa.
Thank you for coming to visit us in West Dallas, Southwest. I have maybe 4 different little points. I'm sure I'll use my time very well. Number one, I just want to remind you that as we do community development, that we keep our current resources, like our housing and our alleys and our streets, preserved. And I have asked for the last 15 years to have an improved alley with concrete, and it has passed 25 years and hasn't been done. So I'm asking that we can maintain our current resources, as well as some houses that have gone under, that we maintain them and keep them up, because as a taxpayer, and you keep what you have, and we have resources, and human beings are one of them, as well as families. And so I'm speaking for the Walton Walker, Nancy Cochran Elementary, Mountain View area, Loop 12, as well as Southwest Oak Cliff, because I travel everywhere. And I'm very proud of being in Oak Cliff. My second comment is the job opportunities that with unemployment being as high as it is in the city of Dallas, that you keep the doors open to as many different individuals as possible that can bring talent and future resources to the city, as well as taking our tax dollars. And that we hire as many unemployed people as possible so that we keep our taxpayers and money coming and going within the city of Dallas. My third point is that, Mayor, as you march at the city of Dallas throughout the world, that you sell not only North Dallas or a certain segment of Dallas, but you sell the whole cake or the whole pie. And Southwest, I'm talking about from Camp Wisdom, East, those areas economically, as well as Walton Walker, Loop 12, all the way up. We not only need to have, like, businesses that are friendly for consumers, but we need businesses friendly to families that keep healthy families alive and well. Retail centers like the one right there off of I-30 in Cocker Hill, as well as Marshall's and other grocery chains that help keep our families going day to day. My last comment is that as you cultivate the city entirely, that you remember that the Hispanic community is a big part of taxpayers, and that we name and respect each other by giving designated areas like we did Ms. Nash for her years of community service, but also that we remember Cesar Chavez and other people, individuals, and that we identify so that our youth have something to look forward to, and that we maintain our leaders in elementary with good ethics so that all of us can work healthy. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mr. Atkins, would you like to comment?
Yes. Ramon, please. Come up, please. And I was listening, you know, to the statement, and the statement that really touched my heart was that we, infrastructure-wise, you know, our alleys is in worse condition, and some alleys is asphalt and some going concrete. And she was speaking of 25 years of talking to the city about condition of alleys. Where are we at today, and what is our plan going forward to address certain alleys in the city, especially in this particular resident?
Ramon, could you introduce yourself to this so people?
Yes, Mayor. I'm Ramon Migas. I'm an assistant city manager. One of my responsibilities is the street maintenance, street construction, reconstruction, and street maintenance program. Mr. Atkins, excuse me, as you know, the city has made great strides in recent years over the course of the last 10 years or so in terms of improving our street condition, street inventory condition. Our investments have been focused on maintaining and reconstructing our street inventory. To be quite candid with you, our efforts with regards to maintenance and reconstruction of alleys have been very, very limited, simply due to cost. On an annual basis, the city has been spending somewhere in the order of $125 million a year on street maintenance. There have been a very small number of dollars spent in alley condition. We are in the process of updating our inventory to determine what is today's condition of both the streets and the alleys. We have brought forth in the past options, alternatives with regards to how we might take on that challenge. I would anticipate, knock on wood, if we go forward with a bond program, say in 2010, that staff would be making recommendations for council consideration to include maybe a larger share or a larger portion, a greater investment in alley maintenance, alley reconstruction in the future, Mr. Atkins. So that's the best answer I can give you today.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Ramon, and I would probably add, too, one of the things that we're trying to look at, we're trying to do it in an experimental way, is the idea of giving the alleys back to the people in the neighborhoods. In other words, if there's an alleys behind you as opposed to the city not keeping it up, to go ahead and just give those back so that all of a sudden somebody would be able to extend their lot. Clearly gives a larger lot to the individuals. We think it's a safety issue, and clearly that means the city doesn't have to continue to upgrade or maintain an alley that's not being used. It can actually be the productive service. So we're trying to work with one neighborhood, in particular one block, to see if that would be a viable option too. Mr. Zansky, did you want to add something?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Atkins, in District 13, North Dallas, as Ramon, as you probably know, or maybe don't, our number one complaint are alleys. Number one complaint in my district is alleys. We just do not have the funds available to repair those. If we did have the funds, it would be the residents that have rear entrance garages as their only means of getting into their area. So in District 13, the number one complaint is not crime. It's not anything. It's alleys. That's the number one complaint. I do not think the residents in District 13 would acquiesce to giving up their alleys. You know, with this, different districts have different wants and needs, and we do have alleys. We try to take care of them, and sometimes they'll get overgrown. As you know, the property lines go to the center of the alley. 99%, a lot of the people don't even realize that their property goes to the center of it. They dedicate 15 foot on the rear property line to the city of Dallas, and of that 15 foot, there is 8 foot of pavement there for an alley. Yes, maybe years ago, it should have been a 10 foot paved alley, but it just isn't so. But it is a problem. It is a problem in the city of Dallas. I would hate to see us give up the alleys. What does that mean? That means their garbage would have to be picked up in the front. I don't think District 13, I don't think a lot of districts in this city would like to do that. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Appreciate that. And Mr. Nancy, I was especially referring to here in West Dallas, where the alleys aren't being used for those purposes. In fact, they're not being used today for any purpose. Mr. Salazar, please.
Thank you, Mayor. And I fully understood your comments. In West Dallas, we do have smaller streets where the alleys has never been improved. No one ever uses the alley. But sometimes the alleys are used actually as escape routes for people who shouldn't be in the back of people's yards. And certainly, I think there are areas that we can do that. Specifically to Mrs. Spicer, let me thank her for coming down. She's a former cultural commissioner, but always a community activist. And one of the things that I think that she brought up was very, very important is that we need to make sure people are aware that if they do want to make some of the improvements to their, whether it's their alley or to their sidewalk or to their street, the city does collect petitions from people or from neighborhoods or neighbors to get together and request a council member to improve their street or their alley or their sidewalk. And with that petition in hand, the city moves forward for a 2010 bond program, now's the time to get it in, or even to inquire if one was turned in previously. We can certainly look it up and make sure that we can try to bring that to the forefront of the list to be considered, if not in the current budget or the following year's budget, but certainly in a bond program to get the funding for that. I will say that we have had to do some cutbacks on some of the street repair from our streets program because of the economy and what we're seeing right now in the sales. That does not, however, should not deter people who are interested in the bond program to say, well, we know we can't do it now, but if we do it through the bond, then we certainly need that help whenever we can get it, and it will not be 25 years, again, to fix something. Our commitment is to get it done as soon as possible, once we've identified it, and to move it forward. So I want to thank her for coming down here today, and I'll certainly look forward to seeing the specific street, the block, and to make sure if it's not on the list, how we can get it on the list. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Salazar. Mr. Caraway, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Let me just agree with Councilman Salazar to say that in the future, what we need to do is attempt to put together some type of an alley bond program. In my district, specifically in District 4, the Oak Cliff portion of my district, I would say I have the worst alleys in the city. They are overgrown, and we have a lot of seniors that cannot get out and take the lawnmowers and go and clean the alleys. And we've been trying to come up, myself and Mary Soon, we've been trying to come up with a way to have some type of an assistance program that will address Alice. So it has not escaped the thought process. I'm very pleased that the lady came down to bring it even more to our attention of the need for that. And I would go back to say again that it's something that I think that we do need to take a look at futuristically in the bond program. But we celebrated today a volunteer group that came down, and they and our code department and a gentleman by the name, I think, James, I forget his name today. Let me just say James Mullen. But anyway, he came down today to for us to recognize him. And he took it upon his own to go and get lawnmowers and to assist seniors. And that's something that we need to do until we, the city, get the program going. We're going to have to become that helping hand and take this on, because true enough, we're not sitting here talking about raising taxes. We're talking about trying to maintain, but we still have a community to keep clean. So the ALEC program is something, yes, Reverend Jarman is his name. Thank you so very kindly, colleague. But we will be moving forward with that, and it is something that we need to step up to the plate and do. As community citizens, we have to get out here and kind of pick the ball up and try to run with that ball until we, the city, can find the necessary dollars. But until then, do what you're doing tonight, and that is come out to these meetings. Stand up to that microphone, let us hear the need, and then charge us with the obligation to find in a way. Closing with that, the marketing that she spoke about, I am the chairman of the marketing task force, and this is our first time having a marketing task force. And so that we can have clarity, this council and our mayor, we're not looking at North Dallas. This is the first time, I want you all to know, since I've seen the city council operating collectively together, that we now have North Dallas colleagues that are pushing on their own for better opportunities in the southern sector and West Dallas, and they're doing that. So I want you to applaud my colleagues to let you all know that we're looking at all parts of the city on each and every item that we address.
Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Thank you. Your next speaker is first initial R, last name Lewis. Again, please state your name and address for the record.
Robert Lewis, 3710 Pueblo, West Dallas. First, I wanted to say good afternoon. And I want to say to my city councilman that I can give honey as well as vinegar. Thank you for Monday. It was very, very nice. And also, thank you for not stopping the Nash Davis Recreation Center. But you picked it up from Ed Oakley, and I thank you for that. We do have a lot of things to do. And number one, I'd like to make a motion that you all do 3 minutes like we do so we can get on with this. I'd like to recommend Mr. Arthur Wilson for his corner. He's really done a great job. Norman Henry for Eagle Ford, they've done a great job. But we still have a lot to do. And I like it because those two people try to work with everybody. And I would like for you all to work with us like they're doing. But Mayor, we need some drainage. If you go to North Dallas, they be blocked. Have two drainage in case it rains. If you come to West Dallas in the Westmoreland Heights, there's one drain for the whole street. Not just block for block, but the whole street of West Dallas. namely Gallagher, Pueblo, Toronto, Magroon, and those places. And if I tell you a ticket dip snuff, look on this wing, the can is there. Also, we need some sidewalk accessibility for our people. We don't have that in the Westmoreland Heights. The contractors that we have in our area leave tree stumps and everything in the alley. That's the reason why the senior citizens can't do anything, because of tree stumps and all the other. We got too many cars on the street. In one house, it might be 10 cars. That's fine. But when we get ready to have a fire truck or an ambulance come down that street, then you have a problem. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much. Appreciate those comments.
The next speaker is Dr. Paul McCarthy.
I'm Paul McCarthy, and I live at 2217 Country Market Lane in Dallas. And I'm the president of Central College, and I'm just delighted to be here to tell you how excited El Centro is to bring higher education to West Dallas. I was at a parents' university a few weeks ago, and the parents there and at people at other public meetings have expressed great excitement, especially as our building begins to take shape on the other side of Hampton Road. So we're very excited. We will open probably in summer or fall of 2009. We'll be a full-service college. We'll have classrooms, computer labs, a library, a small bookstore, and full student services. And let me just say one more thing, because it's connected to your theme tonight, but you may not know it, but El Centro is also connected to the Audubon Center. In August, El Centro learned that our college in Texas Tech received a grant award of almost $5 million from the U.S. Department of Education to establish new transfer agreements in environmental science with that university. The grant targets Hispanic and low-income students in Central Dallas. It also provides lab and classroom space at the Audubon Center. We'll also be doing some field research there, and remodel some of our classrooms and labs on our campus on Main Street. This Texas Tech partnership will increase transfers in environmental science, math, engineering, and technology fields. And I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Just a moment, please. Mr. Newman, did you want to make a comment?
Thank you, Mayor. And I very much appreciate you being here. I mentioned earlier tonight that one of the new shining lights in this neighborhood is the El Centro West Campus that is under construction as we speak. Not only is that an exciting thing for a junior, our high-quality Dallas County Community College District to be in the neighborhood, but it, Mayor and colleagues, it will create a connection between Pinkston High School and a community college. It will tell our young people that as you go through high school, there's future, and you can take a step right, and it's just diagonally across from Pinkston High School to the West Campus, and I think that's exciting, and I'm looking forward to strengthening that relationship between Pinkston High School and your new campus, and this, thank you very much for being laser-focused in being part of this community.
Thanks, Carl.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
The next speaker is Willie Range.
Good evening, Ms. Walton. Thank you for coming. I had the wonderful privilege on November 1st to follow Michelle Ragland as the chairman of the board here at this wonderful building. And I just want to take the opportunity to present some people who helped to make this possible, if I could. I didn't want to miss the fact that Ms. Loretta Harden, she's sitting here somewhere. There she is. She is the executive director of this building. And I'm sure she would like for you to know, don't let this partnership stop this afternoon. Also, there are some more volunteers and staff here from the YMCA. Would you please stand here, Lake West?
That's Jeff Howard, Mayor. That's Jeff Howard in the back. He is an essential link to the youth and the community here. Thank you, Jeff.
There are some members of the Board of Advisors, I believe, which you all stand. And, of course, Pastor Wilson, whose names keep coming up all this afternoon, he is the Board Chair Emeritus, so we want to leave him out as well, please. Thank you for coming, and to Councilman Atkins, I heard him say that he was going to wear his red, white, and blue shoes for the turkey trot. And I just wanted to warn him not to wear red, white, and blue shorts or T-shirts because we did not want to mistake him for a Harlem Globetrotter. But remember us here at the YMCA here at Lake West. We'll remember you, and our doors are always open. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Pat Stevens.
Hello, my name is Pat Stevens, and I live at 3643 Gallagher Street. I'm in the Councilman Newman's area, and I am the president of the Westmoreland Heights Neighborhood Association. And we are the longest running neighborhood association active in the West Dallas area. We have the longest active crime watch in the West Dallas area. My concern is that there has nothing been done to the Westmoreland Heights area of improvement. Now I hear that you're going to rezone it. We organized 13 years ago because you tried to come in and take our area. Robert Lewis talked about the poor drainage. We have alley problems. We have poor lighting. Westmoreland Heights came in and tried to change all of that by getting active in the community. Now we're being faced with rezoning. I have asked Councilman Newman's office about this rezoning process, what it's all about. I've never gotten any answer. We want to keep our area. I'm not stopping any progress or any improvement, but keep the residents informed on what's going on in our area. We fight hard, we have fought hard, and we are still fighting to keep our area. The residents there, we want West Dallas as a whole to be a part of the Trinity River Corridor. But we don't want to lose our homes behind the Trinity River Corridor. Okay? So work with us, and we will work with you all. We appreciate you all coming out here. The NIP area came to West Dallas. They put it across Westmoreland. I had asked for improvement across Westmoreland. We never got anything. The Keep Dallas Beautiful came to all other areas, but nothing. I've asked for it for West Dallas, haven't gotten it for West Dallas. So we care about our area as much as anyone else care about their area. So work with us, and we will work with you in trying to keep our area. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Mr. Manifold? Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Pat. And thank you for your leadership for Westmoreland Heights. The study areas that have been called out by the city, there are 24 study areas all along the Trinity Corridor project, and Westmoreland Heights is one of those study areas. That does not mean that the city, through its neighborhoods, are going to rezone, what they are going to do is engage you as a homeowner and your neighborhood association in saying, what is it now and what does the future look like and how can we collectively go there? We are very respectful of your home and your neighborhood. We want to strengthen that. And there isn't a specific timetable of when Westmoreland Heights is going to go through the study process. Ms. Duggar, on her presentation, identified several other areas, but it's all based on community input and property owner input. So you as a leader of the neighborhood, will be have a seat at the table. There's a development that is directly to the west of Westmoreland Heights that was recently sold, and it's all about bringing people together. One of the great things is the connection with the Burnell Trail and through Tipton Park. And we want to save and protect Tipton Park, which is a stone's throw from your community center. But that's a great park. And the graffiti that shows up there has got to be rid. But we are going to connect. And the whole reason we're here tonight in West Dallas is to make sure you're part of the community, not looking from the outside in, but from the inside out. And so your neighborhood will be part of this process. And no decisions whatsoever have been made on anything as it relates to that study here. That's just scheduled for the next probably 9 months or 6 months. Paul Dyer, Paul Lehner. Is that about timetable? Do we know? About 9 months out? Okay. So it's still 9 months away that there's not, so there's no any magic or hidden plan there. But you'll have a seat at the table. You have our promise on that.
Thank you, Mr. Salazar, please. Thank you, Mayor. And let me also reaffirm that what we're doing at City Hall and my commitment has been for West Dallas is that whatever we do, first thing we look at, how does it affect the people? How does it affect the kids? Is this going to be an area that we can create that those people that live in their neighborhoods, whether it's Guadalajara, Los Altos, Las Feites, or Westmoreland Heights, La Estrella, which is the area right next to you, we want to make sure that you can afford to stay here. That's the bottom line. You know, what is it worth it to us if we do all of this and you can't stay living in West Dallas because that's where you want to stay? And my commitment is working with groups like Habitat for Humanity to making sure that all these vacant lots get filled with affordable housing. Affordable housing that means new neighbors here in West Dallas that can come and live here and send their kids to school here. That's what we're creating this for. We're not creating it for rich developers. We're not creating it for people that just want to make quick money. You know, since I've been elected in 1995, I've told the people in West Dallas, if you don't want to sell your house, you don't sell it. You stay living there. You know, if you can't live there, get your kids to come and live here in West Dallas. Because we have to make the commitment first to want to live here to make all this happen. Because if you don't want to live here, all this doesn't mean anything.
Right.
You got to want to live here because we're doing it for you. We're doing it for your kids and your grandkids. So thank you for coming up and saying what you said because it's important. We want people to know that we're investing in your future here in West Dallas as we are up and down the Trinity Corridor. And nothing's going to get changed unless you want it to get changed. Thank you.
Thank you. Madam Secretary.
Your final speaker is Renato de los Santos.
Good evening. You know me as the district director here for LULAC here in North Texas, and you know that also we've been very involved in a lot of different issues, not the least of which is, of course, the effort to try to rename the street for Sepa Chavez. Of course, I'm not here tonight to speak about that. I'm really here because I'm also chairman of a board called the Site-Based Decision-Making Committee for Pinkston High School. It's a campus that's located right in the neighborhood right here, and we have some very serious problems that we are hopefully going to be meeting with Chief Watson in the near future with the police department to try to address. But all of these issues, and Steve was talking about how we want to have people who want to live here in the community, but part of that is also making sure that it's a safe environment. It's a wonderful environment that it could have been, that it has been. We want to make sure that these communities return to what they can be. We want to make sure that as you're making the plans, that as these wonderful development plans of the river are looking like they're coming together and all that, that we also make sure that we work to make sure that the communities are safe, that we have the partnerships. We have collected at Pinkston High School
community organizations, from churches and lots of other organizations that have come together that are willing to say with the police department, we're wanting to do something to make sure that the park, because we know that there are parks real close to the school where we know that the children are going over there and unfortunately having sex, having drugs. It's really creating an unsafe environment that really causes problems for our leadership team at the campuses to try to educate the children. And after all, that's what we're here for, the future of our community. So I ask you to please look to these as you have a chance to talk to the police department, to Chief Watson perhaps specifically, and others, to encourage them to work with us so that we can help to make these community, the parks especially, but one of the efforts we're going to try to do is try to talk to our local businesses here and ask them that during the day when they know that young people should be in school, that they send them to school or tell them, you know, we're not going to serve you right now, you need to be in school. There's other things we're going to hopefully reach out to you, the public, and the community leaders to help us with that, because we're very committed to making our educational system here at Kingston a success.
Perfect. Thank you. Let me make a couple of comments. I'm going to turn over to Mr. Tulane. Well, as you know, we're bifurcated from the Dallas Independent School District. I think for the first time, this council has treated education as an important issue. Clearly, some of the programs have been put in place, things like early reading programs that are aimed at neighbors like West Dallas, kids that may not have the opportunity to be exposed to reading when they walk into public school for the first day. We're leveraging off of the libraries, our librarians, to put those programs in place. We believe that about 10,000 kids will be touched on that. We've also got scholarship programs to try to give not only senior scholarships, but freshmen in high schools, as they know there's a commitment behind them, working with them on internship programs. A number of businesses, I think even ones that are represented here tonight, have come forward and given kids internship opportunities so that they can see the importance of education. All of those become key points. I can tell you that this council also is very conscious of the truancy issue. There's been a number of conversations about Dr. Garcia, who heads up our public safety, who unfortunately had an emergency come up at the last minute and couldn't be with us this evening, has been involved in. I've been involved in those conversations, and you'll see in the next month or so, you'll see those wheels start moving. You'll see proposals in front of this council, which I would urge you to support, that will expand the curfew so that the curfew on young people is extended not only in the evenings but during the day from 9 to 3, which then will give our police the tools that they need to enforce the truancy, because unfortunately the way it is now, thank you, because unfortunately the way it is now, we're limited to taking an individual back to school. Unfortunately, a lot of times they're given a suspension and they're right back on the street. So we're working on that. I can tell you our police have been engaged in that from Chief Kunkel on down. They're engaged in that. As I said, you're going to see some tools come in place. You're going to see hopefully some other areas that we'll be working with the independent school district to have places where we can take those kids where they'll be exposed to education. The final comment I'd make on public safety, and it is an important issue, and it's one that this council is very much concerned with. So that all of you are aware, we put more officers, more additional net officers on the streets of Dallas last year than has ever had been the case. This year will be the same situation. We built in a budget of 200. We've gone to beat policing. We've also changed the way that we do code compliance, which I believe is a public safety issue. We've got a long ways to go, and we shouldn't get too excited about the progress in 1 year, because we didn't get here in 1 year and we're not going to get out in 1 year. But I will tell you, with some of the changes that have come with people like Sergeant Smith, who is here in this local neighborhood and very much locally and has the ownership and accountability, I will tell you that where we think we're going to be now at the end of the year, still 45 days to go or so, but we will be probably one of only two cities up until a couple of weeks ago, I was saying, that would be near double digits. We now believe that we'll actually have a double-digit reduction in crime. And I can tell you, for a large metropolitan city, that's going to be close to being unheard of. So we're making progress on it. I think one of the reasons that we made progress on that is because of the tie-in that we have with the community. I think the community has been more engaged. Our police clearly have been more engaged. And so we may very well end up this year with a double-digit decline in crime. And I would also tell you that that will probably be across the board. Every single crime category will be down. and you'll see the violent crimes down probably in the area of 20% plus. So just so you've got that perspective. Mr. Cadane, and then Mr. Newman, please, and then Mr. Allen.
Mr. Davison, this is, did you say this was site-based decision-making?
Correct.
Is that right? Okay, and have you already implemented it in Pinkston? Is it working there now? And is the school working with you?
The SCDMs are required actually by state law, and they are at Pinkston, and all high schools in Texas are supposed to have a opportunity for campus community leaders and others to participate in advising the principal on how to develop the campus.
So do we have that in every school now?
We're supposed to have that in every school.
Yeah.
Yes,
so, but I appreciate what you're doing with it. And I just like what the mayor said, this whole council's behind our schools and want to do what we can do to keep our kids in school. I think right now, Mayor, what do we have, 40% dropout rate in our schools?
No, we're closer to 60%.
Oh, my goodness. So, I mean, that's just got to change. So we're totally behind you with this, and we'll be looking forward to helping you.
I could just add an editorial comment. Part of that is trying to make the students give them something to be proud of and something that we can show them an example, and that's what we're fighting so hard for, except on Travis Street.
Well, that's what we're going to do.
Thank you.
Mr. Newman, please.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Ray, for being here tonight. You know, Pinkston High School has a relatively new principal, Ms. Villegas, Norma Villegas, and she and I have worked on a couple projects together, and she is a whippersnapper. She brings a lot of energy and accountability to not only the teachers in West Dallas and Pinkston, but the students. And I'm thankful for her leadership, and I'm supportive of anything she can do. And she's going to be a very key component to connecting with the West Campus for El Centro when that building is facilitated, to make sure the seniors that are about to graduate Pinkston have a future. And it's not just walking out the door and not knowing where to go. Now, if they want a trade or job, that's okay. But if they want a college education, it's not that many steps to get to El Centro and that great curriculum. So I say hats off to Ms. Villegas. I've enjoyed her. She is a great part of the future leadership here in West Dallas. So thank you for connecting with Norma. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Allen, please.
Just very quickly, Mayor, I want to thank you for putting this together and allowing us to come out here to this great neighborhood. You know, as said earlier, we talk about around the horseshoe all the time, ladies and gentlemen, about whether it's North Dallas, West Dallas, East Dallas, South Dallas. And to this group, I guarantee you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's all Dallas. And when you all boil it down, it's all about quality of life. It's all it is, quality of life. And that's what everybody tries to strive for. This has been a good meeting tonight. Now, one thing I will tell you, I just said about, we're all in kind of for the city of Dallas, but we've got Councilman Salazar and Councilman Newman, and every time I turn around, my arm's bending because they seem like they're always pushing me on something. So y'all got some good leadership out here, and you got a group that's going to work together. So these were good comments tonight, and they were listened to. So thank y'all for coming. Mayor, thank you for your guidance and direction for putting this together.
You bet. Thank you very much.
That concludes the individuals that were signed up to speak, Mr. Mayor.
I'm going to call on one more. I'm going to need a little bit of help with the microphone if I could. Ms. Nash, can we have you say a couple of comments? Would that be all right? You stay right there. We're going to come to you.
Thank you. To the mayor and to this beautiful council, you just don't know how good you made us feel in the Dallas West area. We thank you from the depths of our heart that you took our time to come to our part of the city, which is next door to heaven. And so this is one of the best places there is in the city of Dallas. And a lot of people say, well, I don't want to go to West Dallas, the crime, the oil, we have the lowest crime there is. So the people that do the bad things, they come from north, south, and south, and our other part. So they're not ours because we take care of our folks out here. So I just thank everybody for everything you've done. And I would like to say, Mr. Dye, you know, I was going to tell this real quick. But I call Mr. Dye so much, he run down the elevator without the elevator being on. But I think, Mr. Dye, can you do that tomorrow? Get that thank you.
Thank you. Well, I think as we've seen that the speakers, we appreciate each one of you that have spoken. There's clearly challenges. There's challenges in West Dallas. There is all the way through the city. But I think also you heard some of the things that are happening in this area. I would tell you with the project that's coming with the Trinity, with the other efforts in building infrastructure, where most of the focus of the bond programs in the last couple of years have been on the southern western part of our city, I would tell you I think West Dallas is going to be an awfully exciting place to be. All 15 of us understand the strength of Dallas is not at City Hall. It's in neighborhoods like West Dallas. That's why we appreciate each and every one of you coming out this evening. Thank you for what you do on a day-to-day basis to make this community better. We just hope we can support you in doing that. We're adjourned. Thank you very much for being with us.
Meeting adjourned at 8:12.